Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Civitas On Air podcast, where we bring to you informed debate and discussion.
Welcome to Civitas On Air, podcast made by researchers of Collegium Civitas in cooperation with Radio Pałac. My name is Mirella Panek-Owsiańska, and I have two distinguished guests today with me. Clara Vasconcelos, Professor, Faculty of Sciences, University of Porto. Hello, Clara.
Hello.
And Grzegorz Mikuszyński, Associate Professor, Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences. Hello, Grzegorz.
Hi.
Both of them are also members of Passion Project, funded by Polish National Agency for Academic Exchange. And our today topic is sustainability education. So let's start from the very beginning. Should we teach sustainability at preschools, or is it already too late to teach such a small children? How can we teach young people about sustainability? What are your thoughts and what are your experiences in it? Maybe we start from Portugal example, Clara.
Okay, I think you are asking us if starting teaching sustainable education in preschool is too early and not too late. I consider it is not too early, because when it is important to teach a relevant topic, we should start when children are very young, and we have some feedback from other projects, and we really know that they understand if we prepare educational resources and cases adapt to their ages. And we also know, at least in Portugal, I cannot speak what happens in Sweden, but maybe Greg can. In Portugal, we have a very inertia from the population. And we discover then if we start teaching the children, they bring to the family the ideas that they are taught in the school. So it was, in fact, it was a very good way to promote sustainability among citizens.
Okay, and how about Sweden?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Clara that it's as early as possible is the best solution. And I know in Sweden that you have even in some communities, you have whole families that are when you make an interview with a 6 years old kid, they will say, no, we don't want to have any cars. We don't. And they have many arguments. And this is, of course, a local initiative supported, and the whole families are involved. But I also have some idea about what I've seen in Sweden is how well worked the education concerning safety, car safety.
Mm-hmm.
The children were taught as children like maybe 8-7 years old about how important it is to use the safety belts and so on. And then I see it in my eyes that they were telling father or mother, please do not forget it. So in Western society, at least, where children are very important, and I think that the parents will learn from children about important things that they haven't been taught when they were children themselves. So it may spread very well.
Okay, and if we are talking about academic teaching, we have some evidence that, for example, like case-based method is successful. And I know that you prepared some cases during Passion Project. So, Clara, could you please tell us more about it?
There are lots of methodologies that we can use to teach sustainable development, but case-based learning, for me, it is a very good example of methodologies that has success, because we can learn about cases from our own country, but we are also able to learn from problems and other issues that happen in other countries in Europe or in other parts of the world. I use case-based methodology a lot in my university teaching, and I think that it is very successful for many curricular units, not only for teaching sustainability. And I think you asked me something else that I don't remember.
About these cases produced during passion project.
We produced five cases. One was a collaboration between Sweden and, I think, Poland. It was about deadwood in Białowieska forest that Gregowski knows very well. Greece prepared a case about organic olive cultivation in Messinian, Mani, Peloponnese. It is someplace in Greek. Portugal it was more Poland with a small collaboration. Portugal made a case that became very successful in my classes, the case of sustainable food consumption. Mitigating food waste, and Portugal made a lesson plan with a case about remodeling an Asian farm, and Poland also elaborated a lesson plan with the case transformation of a local production company into a sustainable business. The first idea was to present those cases in a face-to-face class, but due to 19 COVID pandemic, we had to change our planification and we end up teaching it online. Of course, the online teaching is very different from the presential teaching, and I think the feedback wasn't as good as we would expect with the face-to-face classes. But at the end, I think we managed to teach what we wanted, and we got some significant feedbacks in some cases.
And are those case studies open for other sustainability professors, for example, if they want to use it?
That's the advantage of case-based methodology, because the lesson plans are prepared to be used by any teacher that can use them. We don't have to go to the local, we don't have to see the farm to understand how the case of remodeling an Asian farm was done. So I think if the lesson plan with the case is well established, any teacher can follow the plan, and I think any student can understand. Also because we give some guidance, you know, we give links where they can find information about the cases, we give articles, and the students can read that information before going to the class.
Okay, thank you. And Grzegorz, would you share with us some of your thoughts and experiences from the research on passion projects, the sustainability research you've done?
If it's okay, I would like to continue a little bit what Clara said, the former question, because I think that teaching using the case-based methodology or similar ones that are about environment, sustainability, show that this is a very complex question. So it's learning, it's often eye-opening process. Then it's creating some kind of systems thinking that people are now, when we get so many fake news that are simplifying environmental problems, then it's very valuable for students to see that there are very many different things that are happening on our way to sustainability. About the research. We have been, in addition to the looking at the cases that Clara has produced a paper, we have several papers that are in the pipeline that are based on the major data collection among several thousand respondents looking at pro-environmental behavior. And there were several questions, some of them going into the questions of nature connectedness. That is, it was actually led by me. And that's a very, I would be happy to share a few.
I just have one question. Is it different in Sweden than in Portugal, the connectedness to nature? Or it's not the factor which differentiates?
There are some some universal things that are similar across different countries. We did it in three countries in terms of nature connectedness: Greece, the Portugal was not included, Greece, Poland, and Sweden. And in each, that we got results that were not very, some of them were not very easy to be explained, not directly, but in some cases, for example, like gender, that women are more sensitive to environmental question was valid in all places. And then that they are also more often accepting or showing the signs that they have higher level of nature connectedness than men. That was quite clear. And then also that the visits in the natural environment was quite clearly linked to when you are visiting natural environment, you usually have higher level of nature, feel higher level of nature connectedness. Mm-hmm. And that's a very interesting finding also in other places, that this development of nature connectedness is extremely important during your childhood. If you develop higher level of nature connectedness, there is a very high, other studies showing that you are much more pro-environmentally oriented when you are adult. So it's very interesting and important finding for future.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting. And can we come back to teaching? And Clara, what would you consider the most difficult factor while teaching sustainability? Are students interested in those topics? Do we have enough materials, or maybe for them it's too theoretical and they have difficulty to connect it into practice?
Well, I teach a curricular unit called Education for Sustainability, and I think all the students like and are engaged with the cases that I present, and we discuss a lot and argue a lot, because the idea of case-based methodology is when we present a case, the students already have to have some previous knowledge. So when they come to the class, we can present the case and start discussion. And the idea is to promote changes in knowledge, attitudes. At the end, we want what Greg said. We want to make them to be more awareness about the environment behaviors that they have to do, or even more the sustainable attitudes and behaviors. I think that it depends, the motivation and the acceptance of the students depends on lots of factors, not only the methodology, but the familiarity of the teacher with the methodology, the kind of educational resources that we present, and the kind of discussions that we can promote. When we have less students in a class, it is more difficult, but when we have more than 20 students, it ends up to be easier, because lots of them participate in discussion. I also think that now we are getting more focus on the goals of sustainable development, but maybe it is not yet enough. And those kinds of curriculum units are not so well considered as the classic, traditional classes. But they are needed, special in my case, because I'm the coordinator of a master for teaching biology and geology. So it is very important to be sure that the next generation of teachers knows what is sustainable development, their goals, and start changing their behaviors and start using sustainable behaviors.
And the last question is, would you consider or would you say that we need some EU standards regarding mm-hmm. sustainability education, or it should be based on the national standards like it is right now?
Well, I worked a little for European Commission in some projects and as an evaluator. So I think each country has its own issues, its own problems. So we don't explore the same kind of cases and we don't focus in the same goals of sustainable development. So it means we teach with different ambitions and generally we try to present cases related to the local, the national, national cases. But I also think we should have some standards given by the European Union, or at least some documents that are produced by European Union should be more disseminated. For example, I have been working in a project for European Union, and I think, for example, the European Skills Agenda was not well disseminated, and this skills agenda speaks about the European Green Deal, the Green Deal competencies, the Paris Declaration of Climate Change, and also about the European Pillar of Social Rights. I think those documents from the European Union should be disseminated and should be discussed, because it would give a huge background to discuss with more quality and more knowledge about the sustainable development cases.
Okay, thank you. Grzegorz, do you feel any need for EU regulations on that topic?
I fully agree with Clara that the each country has its own characteristic that the education for sustainable development should be adjusted. On the other hand, I think that some guidelines or even more like standards concerning when you should start education for sustainable development and in what amount this topic should be covered by schools or even maybe preschools, that would probably help to get some kind of common understanding relatively early in the development when you are going to school. So in this case, I would think that some kind of standard concerning when and how much of education for sustainable development should be applied could be useful, but then the contents itself should be adjusted to country specific situations.
Okay. Thank you very much. That was Civitas on Air. Clara Vasconcelos, University of Porto. Obrigada.
Obrigada.
Grzegorz Mikuszyński, Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences. Dziękuję. Thank you. Thank you very much for both of you. We will hear you in another episode of this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to Civitas On Air. We cover current and important political and social topics. Our work is produced by researchers and students from Collegium Civitas, together with Radio Palace. Please subscribe to our podcast by visiting your favourite streaming service, like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And do stay tuned for the next episode.